Hello, and welcome back to a podcast about murder. I'm Freya, and I'm... Jem has auto-corrected to Jim.
That's my, like, persona.
And I didn't notice. It's your alter ego now.
Yeah.
Should we change it? It's just Jim now.
Yeah.
I'm Freya, and I'm here with Jim. Jim, how are you today?
I'm all right.
Good. This is episode 2 of our 5th season, and my first episode back hosting, and I'm really looking forward to sharing another true crime story with you all today. Well, I guess the last one wasn't technically a true crime story, but similar thing.
Yeah. So welcome to the first episode of this season that's actually about true crime.
This case is one I heard about a long time ago, but I was reminded of it recently when I saw something about it online. I was like, oh man, this one is really interesting, and I can't believe I hadn't thought about doing it before. It's a case that could make you think even about the nature of crime and whether it's possible to be a willing victim to a crime, and if the victim can somehow absolve you of the negative morality of a crime or not. So it's very thought-provoking, I think, and on top of that, it's just outright crazy to me that this happened. So I guess all that's left to say is, are you ready to talk about murder this fine afternoon?
I'm ready. I'm definitely intrigued. I don't know much about this case, so I'm looking forward to it.
Cool, let's get into it. Just a warning here for, if you hadn't guessed by the title, cannibalism, dismemberment, and all that jazz. So just go into that knowing that that's what's going to come up. Today we're going to talk about a German case centering around a man named Armin Meiwes. I'm not certain about pronunciation on that last name, but I did look up like an audio of a German person saying it, and that is the closest I think I'll get. It's either Meiwes or, I mean, you might say Meiwes, but I'm pretty certain that it's Meiwes. I'm going to go ahead and call him Armin for most of the episode anyway, because it's easier. I usually use first names anyway, so that's not unusual. We'll see that there was nothing especially unusual about Armin on the surface, but he would end up being the perpetrator of what has to be one of the strangest crimes ever publicized, leading to an unprecedented trial and worldwide coverage. Armin Meiwes lived in the small town of Wusterfeld, west of Rosenberg an der Fulda. Sorry about my German. A town situated on the River Fulda in Germany. It's in the very center of the country, in the state of Hesse. When I searched for Rosenberg, which is where Armin is typically reported to be from, I got Rothenburg, which I'm just not sure is the same place. So, but any German listeners, please leave a critical comment letting me know if my German geography is incorrect. I'd be happy to hear about it. Anyway, Armin was a computer technician, 42 years old, who lived alone. Armin's neighbours and others who lived nearby his large house, described as a mansion, did not have a bad word to say about him. He was known to help his neighbours with a variety of errands and chores, from car repairs to mowing lawns, and he had served them meals at his home. The only other thing said of him by locals was that he was up late regularly, as neighbours saw his light stayed on well into the night.
Well, how late is late? Like, I don't know.
That's all the information I've got. As usual, you're thinking like deep into the details, and then just it's just information I don't have.
Yeah. That so far, you know, seems pretty normal, pretty decent. To be like involved in the community as well is quite rare, I would say, for these loner types.
Yeah, I think it's unusual to be sort of like, yeah, social in that way. In March of 2001, Armin began advertising online, as was becoming a thing back then and is very common now, for someone to join him to fulfill a fantasy of his. But it wasn't just any fantasy. Armin's advert was looking for, quote, a young, well-built man who wanted to be eaten.
He just went straight, like,
he just went straight to
that.
No, just straight into it. He posted this
advert. It's so specific as well from the beginning. It's like, no, I know what I want, and I'm just going to be upfront about it.
He posted this advert on a website that was live at the time called The Cannibal Cafe.
Okay.
As the name suggests, this was a forum for people who shared a fetish for cannibalism. Unbelievably, Armin received a reply. 43-year-old Berlin engineer Bernd Brandes? Answered Armin's ad. Bernd described himself as bisexual and shared in the other side of Armin's fantasy, and the two exchanged emails detailing their plans for Bernd's death and subsequent consumption. Bernd was a little outside of some of the stipulations. Armin had specified a man between the ages of 18 and 25, but this must have been acceptable to Armin as he invited Bernd to his home to carry out their apparently mutual fantasy.
I mean, I feel like you can't be too picky in this kind of scenario. I mean,
it's amazing. He's found someone. It's worth noting before we continue that the 2001 ad that Bernd replied to was not the first of Armin's ads, and it was not the first to have received a willing response, actually.
There's a whole subculture that's quite...
devoted to this concept.
Yeah.
In 2000, a man named Borg Joss answered a message Armin posted, which read, quote, I am looking for a young, well-built man, aged 18 to 30, to slaughter.
Okay, so there's not a lot of variation in his advertising.
He knows what he wants. Borg's was just one of several responses. Reportedly, Borg went as far as to be lying on Armin's table awaiting his death when the victim backed out of the arrangement, claiming that he felt ill. Although I reckon in that moment he was just like, hang on, what the fuck am I actually doing?
This has gone a bit far.
And I think he just changed his mind. But feeling ill will do. But obviously this left Armin without a consenting partner, and he let Borg leave without any incident. He didn't want to, you know, he didn't want someone to like... be in this against their will kind of thing.
It's okay. Weirdly respectful.
Yeah. It's funny because at this point you're kind of like, you're still with him. You're kind of on his side in a way. Like, he's a weird guy, but it's like, cool. You're into what you're into.
Which, like, okay, this is like definitely bizarre, but at least consent is still a key element. So I guess that's, yeah. All right.
Armin would not attempt this with another person until he met Bernd Brandes online the following year. On March 9, 2001, Armin and Bernd met at Armin's property. According to some sources, they had sex, although that isn't a detail that all the accounts I read included. So, you know, that's not necessarily true. But anyway... That evening, Bernd voluntarily took 20 sleeping tablets, washed down with cough syrup and a bottle of schnapps. As he began to feel drowsy, he agreed that Armin could, stay with me here, cut off Bernd's penis and serve it to them both to eat.
Okay. All right. Now, why?
Bernd did initially want Armin to physically bite off the penis. But this didn't work out, so Armin defaulted to using a knife. Bernd also tried to eat some raw penis, but this is his own penis, just to be clear.
Right.
He also tried to eat some raw penis, but he found it too chewy, so...
No shit. Why are you... Okay.
So Armin set about frying the penis, and he seasoned it with garlic, salt, and pepper, and a splash of wine. And he shared it with the presumably happy Bernd, although the latter was quite weak from the injury and he struggled to eat.
Really, like, escalated incredibly fast.
Some penis was reportedly given to Armin's dog, as it was apparently overcooked. So they went from raw, chewy penis to overcooked penis that couldn't be eaten either, but...
If you don't know the adequate way to cook a penis, there's no way of knowing. But I feel like it's not every day you get access to some, like, voluntarily
It's a completely
given...
new cut of meat. There is no, like, looking this up on Google, like, BBC Good Food recipes. There's no referencing this. After the supposedly disappointing penis meal...
Okay.
Bernd took a bath. He was experiencing a lot of blood loss by this point from the removal of his penis, but apparently that wasn't really an issue for him, or maybe he was playing it cool.
Or maybe he'd lost a lot of blood and wasn't aware of, like, how bad it was.
Armin, meanwhile, relaxed with a book, a Star Trek novel, as he waited for Bernd to clean up. Armin checked on Bernd every quarter of an hour or so, and Bernd was drifting in and out of consciousness at this point. In the early hours of March 10, Armin gave Bernd a kiss, and then he killed him using a kitchen knife to stab him in the neck. Armin was hesitant about the killing, and he said a prayer before he completed the act.
So presumably this was not with...
No, this was what they agreed.
They agreed together to do this.
There was going to be a killing at the end of it.
Okay.
But why they had this period of time where he was, like, in the bath bleeding out is unclear. Maybe just he wanted to relax first. I don't know. Armin then carefully dismembered Bernd's body. Bernd's skull, whose owner had even suggested that it be used as an ashtray, would later be found buried in Armin's garden. Pieces of Bernd were stored in the freezer, and over the weeks and months following the killing, Armin would consume about 20 kilograms of this supply. After defrosting parts of Bernd, Armin would cook the flesh, fried with garlic and olive oil. Not gonna lie, but when I was writing this, I was reading the stuff like cooked with garlic and olive oil, and I was just getting hungry.
Well, he knows how to season it, I guess. It's going for like a Mediterranean vibe.
Yeah, right. Who doesn't love a bit of garlic and olive oil? And I had to keep reminding myself that, like, this is not yummy. Like, this is cannibalism.
But also, I'm surprised that he does season it, because, like, how is that different from any other meat in that case? What's the point of having killed a human? He could have just bought something from the shops and not killed someone.
I don't think it's because he's hungry. I think it's like a psychological fetish desire.
Yes.
I don't think he's doing this because he can't get his hands on, like, ham.
This is the only way.
Armin continued to meet with some other men who had responded to his online ad on the Cannibal Cafe in the months following Bernd's death. Five men, apparently, one of whom was actually from London, interestingly. Sort of interestingly. But Armin didn't kill and eat these subsequent men that he met through the internet. It's reported that these respondents backed out of the arrangement, and since Armin would not force them, they left the encounters unscathed.
I'm just surprised at how many people are interested in and seeking out this kind of thing. And multiple people are, like, responding to it, like,
right.
I don't know.
It's only months later that someone who doesn't think these ads sound particularly normal stumbles upon them. And I can't believe it took that long. But this person informs the police, and Armin would be arrested in December of 2002. A search of his home, of course, revealed Bernd's remains hidden under pizza boxes in Armin's freezer, and a video which captured everything that had happened between Armin and Bernd.
Oh. Which I guess then will be important in sort of discussing the consent, like the consensual part of it.
Exactly.
But props to the person who got in touch with the police. Because to be honest, well, I don't know what the site looks like, but if I saw that on the internet, someone could literally be like, lol, about to eat a person, and I'd be like, love it. Like, what a meme. I wouldn't take it seriously, but presumably the context, you can tell it's a serious issue.
The internet is also a very different place now. Mm. It's very post humor, like surreal comedy. Mm. So I can see that. After his arrest, Armin freely told detectives about what he'd done. He claimed that Bernd, who he described as his friend, had, quote, enjoyed dying, death. I only waited, horrified, for the end after doing the deed. Armin confessed that he had enjoyed each meal of Bernd's body to the fullest by setting a candlelit table for himself, laid with his finest cutlery, and serving the cooked meat, which he claimed tasted very similar to pork, with South African red wine. And you do hear that human meat is very close to the meat of a pig. I have heard that before. That, like, biologically...
I've heard that, yeah.
So it was clearly a somewhat romantic affair, the whole thing between Armin and his victim, because you have the kissing of Bernd before the killing, you have the somewhat respectful and ceremonial aspect of burying his skull in the garden. Mm. And then these romantic feeling meals. Armin also said, quote, "With every bite, my memory of him grew stronger." So there is this very specific feeling that a cannibal killer describes. And it's like this for Jeffrey Dahmer, if I remember rightly. That's what I'm reminded of. That it's actually this closeness, the extreme intimacy of consuming another human being. That's what the pleasure is in eating human flesh. So you were asking, why? Why do this at all? It's about the personal nature of it.
I suppose.
It's very interesting in that way to read and hear from people for whom this is a fantasy. Because it's normally more metaphorical than it is physical, if that makes sense.
That does make... I sort of see that, because then it is purely about the sort of connection. Oh my gosh.
I'm going to just state an apology here if my baby snoring is on the recording. Her breathing didn't show up on the last one, so I'm hoping that it hasn't, but this time she's actually snoring. And it sounds really silly, so, oh my god. Okay.
No, because I guess metaphorically wanting to be consumed by another person, I can sort of get that. But taking it to the next level of actually eating a person is quite extreme, to say the least.
Immediately, police and prosecutors discovered, I think to their surprise, that actually eating someone is not illegal.
Is it not?
Not
How
in
is
Germany.
That possible?
There was no crime that was cannibalism. There's no crime that's eating a person. It just hadn't been a rule that had been made, and no one had ever had a problem with that until this case.
Because it just goes without saying. Like, we shouldn't eat people. Is everyone cool with that? Right. We don't need to put that in writing. Who would eat a person?
But they charged Armin with murder. And instead of cannibalism, they charged him with something called disturbing the peace of the dead.
Yeah, I was going to say like desecration or something.
The additional circumstance that they claimed the murder was for sexual pleasure also added an additional level to that. The potential sentence would be life in prison if convicted. Continued bizarre comments from Armin would come up in his pre-trial interviews, including that he had found his command of English had improved since eating Bernd, who spoke the language well.
What?
Armin also claimed that he was now writing his memoirs and that his mental well-being was much better after cannibalizing Bernd.
Okay.
So I guess he's claiming that he's getting some kind of, like, benefits.
It just gets weirder and weirder. That he's, like, absorbing his...
absorbing, like, life force.
Jesus. Okay.
Needless to say, there had not been a court case quite like this one in German history. The trial was held in the city of Kassel, somewhat nearby Rothenburg, on 3rd of December 2003, 1 year after his arrest. On the first day of the trial, Armin told the court, quote, "I always had the fantasy, and in the end, I fulfilled it," referring to, of course, cannibalizing another person. The court heard from the prosecution that these fantasies had started when Armin was just 8 years old, when he began to have desires to kill and eat his classmates.
Jesus, all right. who is like 8 years old, like, wish I could eat my fellow children? Like, this is very strange.
He's like an imposter, kind of. But I don't know why, but it makes me feel like warm towards him.
Okay.
I have no idea why. I know it's terrible to like want to hurt and murder and then eat people, but there's something about an eight-year-old child who wants to eat his peers at school that I just find weirdly endearing.
I'm just gonna stick with weird.
Maybe I guess maybe I feel sorry for him, like, because that can't be an easy way to live your life.
Yeah,
but maybe that's super wrong. But only in his kid form, you know. I kind of just feel like, oh, this is something a kid is.
Well, I think
must be suffering in some way, socially and emotionally. So
yeah,
I guess I don't know. I just the image of this little kid just wanting to eat the other people at school was quite cute to me in a weird way.
Well, it's also funny then. I mean, I don't know. You might get into this in a minute, but like. Even though this fantasy started at such a young age, I don't know if there's like a history of like aggressive behavior or anything like that, or it manifesting in other ways, especially like as a teenager or anything like that.
Armin's childhood would be explored at the trial. Born on December the 1st of 1961, he was an only child to his parents, but he had two older half-brothers, these from his father's previous relationship. Armin spoke at trial of his isolation and neglect during his childhood.
Mm.
His father, who was never very loving or warm towards his son, left the family when Armin was just 8 years old. And that is the time that these fantasies start. So
there's clearly something going on there.
Mm.
I mean, not that that wasn't evident from the existence of the fantasies themselves.
Of course. And Armin's father leaving created some intense abandonment issues, as it often would for children. It seems that these evolved into his desire to cannibalize a person and thereby keep them with him, if you see what I mean.
Okay. And that's clearly present in the way he talks about sort of absorbing...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Young Armin envisioned a blonde younger brother who he called Frankie that he could eat and in doing so hold on to him forever. Frankie became an imaginary friend, someone who would listen when confided in. Armin also explained that the fairy tale Hansel and Gretel, in which two children are captured by a cannibalistic witch, had somewhat inspired his fascination with eating people.
Okay, this is all stacking up to sound pretty like... straightforward, psychologically speaking. There's a clear cause for a lot of these things.
I mean, the question is, why doesn't every kid whose dad walks out on the family eat people? Yeah,
exactly.
And that's always the question, as we've got to a lot of times.
Mm. But it is true then. I was just thinking, Hansel and Gretel is such a typical German story that it's like, we've got a story about cannibalism, yet... no law, like it's not actually an issue at all. But we've just got this like law about...
Well, no one was like following Hansel and Gretel as like a factual informational story until...
No, but it's clearly something like fairy tales. What's the word I'm looking for? They like are sort of born out of like the community's fears.
I guess, so... yeah, that's true. Armin's parents described him as a well-behaved boy, but his mother, like many of these killers we talk about who end up with maladjustments, shall we say, his mother was somewhat overbearing. A stifling figure who would never let Armin out of her sight and embarrassed him regularly by scolding him in public. By the age of 12, Armin's fantasies of killing and eating his school friends so that they would stay with him were fully formed. Prosecutor Marcus Kohler outlined the culmination of these childhood fantasies, that after the death of Armin's mother in 1999, which left Armin living alone in the family's enormous property, things took a turn for the worse. In a Norman Bates-style situation, Armin created a shrine to his mother and obtained a mannequin that he would place in her bed at night.
Okay.
He frequently accessed violent pornography, finding his way onto cannibal fetish sites. Then, when he could no longer resist his cannibalistic urges, he set about looking for a victim online.
So that escalated pretty quickly after she died.
Yeah, so that was obviously another trigger. You've got the father leaving that sort of sets this ball rolling. And then he's kind of able to control himself until he experiences another abandonment, in a way. You know, obviously not an intentional one, but that is... He has another loss that he can't, someone who couldn't stay with him kind of thing.
Mm.
Of course, Armin's defense had a never-before-heard argument in a criminal case for leniency, that the victim was a willing participant and wanted to be killed and then eaten. Vitally, the defense had the video, which I mentioned earlier, made by Armin, documenting his evening with Bernd, during which the victim affirmed his consent to these activities. This 4-hour-long video has never been made public, which makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think it should be available to the public.
No, but it covers the whole engagement from the penis meal to the very end, apparently.
Okay.
Only 19 minutes of this video was even shown at the trial, and the jury didn't even see it. Only
That's
the court
strange.
Officials were able to view it and then describe what they'd seen. And that was, I guess, because it was so disturbing. But the video is how so much is known about the events that evening. Although Armin wasn't really hiding anything, so...
No, but I suppose it does help to have a sort of clear, objective video that shows what happened.
In any case, Armin's defense argued that their client was guilty of, quote, killing on demand, warranting just 5 years in prison and not a life sentence. In response, the prosecution characterized Bernd Brands not as a fully willing participant, but instead as a vulnerable person with mental health issues who had been preyed upon by Armin. Mm. They also claimed that Armin derived continued sexual pleasure from consuming Bernd and highlighted the inherent issues with this interference with a corpse. Mm. As that in the law, obviously, you're not allowed to interfere with a dead body and enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you're allowed to interfere with a dead body full stop, but I guess it's worse if you're enjoying it.
I guess. On 30th of January 2004, a verdict of manslaughter was received. Armin was sentenced to spend 8 years and 6 months in prison. The prosecution immediately appealed, pushing for a murder charge. In the media and among the public, Armin became known as the Rotenburg Cannibal, or Der Metzgermeister, the Master Butcher.
Okay.
There was the obvious comparisons to Hannibal Lecter. The unusual nature of the case prompted a lot of attention and newspapers to speak to Armin about his crimes. He denounced copycat killers who, according to reports, had begun advertising for victims in the wake of the case being publicized. Armin said that such people should seek treatment as he regretted killing and eating Bernd. Armin also said that he thought hundreds of cannibals were living in Germany at the time. So what you were saying earlier about Hansel and Gretel being based on a cultural fear and yet them not having a legal precedent for cannibalism, well, he believes that there are lots of cannibals in Germany, so maybe you're right, there is like an understanding that,
that I mean, I wasn't
there's a
go that
local
far.
Problem here.
I wasn't insinuating that Germany's a secret nation of cannibals. But I also don't know how much I trust him as a source of information.
I'm going to check the proportion of our audience that listens from Germany while I edit, and the direction of how much I leave in that it strongly implies that Germany has a major issue with cannibals will be influenced by how many that is.
10 secrets you don't know about Germany. No, but I think I want to believe that there aren't hundreds of cannibals in Germany, and that it's actually
or indeed
him,
anywhere else
or anywhere, and that it's actually him trying to make it seem more normal than it is.
Yeah,
but it's interesting that he regrets it because he's been quite unabashed about it.
Yeah, well, he didn't say that he didn't. He said he sort of wished he didn't have to kill him, but that he felt better afterwards. So I don't know if that's the same as regret, but you know, he had remorse. I would say it's remorseful. Okay. Maybe not regretful, if that makes sense. The prosecution's appeal was successful. In 2005, a retrial was ordered on the grounds that the sexual nature of the crime, having killed for a sexual motive, technically warranted a murder conviction, even if the victim were willing, and that the video of the killing proved this. So basically what it was that the defense was saying he only killed because the person who was being killed asked him to, and that sort of comes under like a mercy loophole, as I understand it, where you could get a short sentence, as he originally did, and a manslaughter charge because you've killed someone for selfless reasons, only because they've asked.
Okay, the fact that it's clearly not selfless.
Right, so the prosecution is saying, no, he's not killing Bernd just because Bernd wants to die. He's killing Bernd because he's getting pleasure from it, and that makes it a murder, and not just, hey, I'm helping you out here.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, the prosecution also pointed out that Bernd's consumption of alcohol and sleeping pills meant that he was unable to actually consent to his murder. Yeah. It's hard to argue with that from a legal standpoint, but, I mean... But that's just a technical thing, because I think we all know that Bernd went into this willing prior to having ingested these substances. But it does, obviously, it makes it muddy.
Yeah, but then that's actually an interesting point, because there have been occasions where guys have come to him and like pulled out the last minute saying, I don't want to do this. And he's respected that. So... By that same logic, if someone is unable to be like lucid and
change their mind,
give their consent to what's about to happen to them,
Yeah, and I guess they had a point when they were kind of talking about how Bernd, he's not just this, you know, they presented some of his life that I didn't go into the details because I wasn't sure exactly how much of it was true, and some of it didn't make him look, I don't know, I just felt like it didn't add much to anything, but it was kind of like he was leading a life where I guess you could say he was depressed, or he was right. Or he could have been suffering from depression. And maybe some people would say, well, you can't just for your own pleasure almost encourage a person to commit suicide for your for something that you want.
Who's already in a sort of bad headspace, someone egging you on and being like, this is a good idea.
It's maybe not as clear cut as like, he just wants to die and I'm just going to help him. It's a bit more like, well, you found a person that maybe you should have, maybe they should have received help instead of been killed and cannibalized. But, you know, it's just, it's another way to think about it. A psychologist at the retrial also emphasized the danger Armin still posed to others if released, as his fantasies of cannibalism had not disappeared. This despite the fact that, funnily enough, Armin became a vegetarian while he was in prison.
What?
He would also join an environmentalist political group, work in the prison library, and reportedly assist police in tracking at least one other cannibal killer sought after in a cold case. In 2006, Armin's conviction for manslaughter was replaced by a conviction for murder, and he was resentenced to life in prison.
I'm quite persuaded by the argument presented by the prosecution. Like, I find it quite, I sort of agree with a lot of the points that are being made, that it's not just, you can't just be like, oh, well, he asked me to and I did.
Yeah, no, legally, like from if we're just looking at like legal, technical, everything in its place, they nailed it. That is what that is. Mm. And they're right. And they should have won as they did. But I guess it's like the moral grey area that you could then discuss whether that was the right choice from a moral standpoint. And I'm not convinced that Armin would have posed a danger to others. I don't think he's stupid. I don't see him taking that risk again, knowing that he's going to be monitored. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, especially not after a lengthy prison sentence during which he becomes a vegetarian. I guess I just don't see that this couldn't have been solved with like, yeah, prison sentence, but then maybe some like psychological in outpatient kind of situation. Or I don't know, that he shouldn't be in a different place, maybe a psychological facility. I don't know. It's just, you know, I don't think he's actually trying. It sounds so bad to kind of excuse him because he did kill a person and I believe that person was vulnerable. But do I believe that a space in a prison should be taken up by someone like him for his whole life? Probably not, because I don't know. am I crazy? Am I stupid?
I see what you mean. It's like he's not going around attacking people.
Don't get me wrong. I think he's insane. And I think that what he did was wrong. I just think he could be handled in a different way to someone like, to another serial killer, you know, or like a, I think he could have been a serial killer had he been not caught, because he would have gone on, I think, to kill again. But would he kill again now after being caught? Don't think so.
That's a fair, I think, yeah. I don't know. It's a weird one.
Yeah. The case became so well known that it has spawned many references and inspired works in culture, both in Germany and abroad, including in music, television, films, and even theatre. The parody I know well is in the sitcom The IT Crowd, where Moss responds to an ad for what's listed as a German cookery course, goes to this guy's house, but it's actually a German cannibal who's portrayed as like this really kind, gentle guy. And his bad English has resulted in him advertising that he's running a cookery course instead of looking for a person who will let him cook and eat them. It's a very, very funny episode. A 2006 horror film called Cannibal, based on the case, was banned in Germany, and so was Grim Love, another German film about the case, although the latter won multiple awards and the ban was lifted on appeal.
Oh, really?
I haven't seen either of them, but they exist. Many bands have made reference to the case in their songs, including Marilyn Manson, Ozzy Osbourne, and German metal band Rammstein.
Not surprised by any of those musicians referring to this incident.
No. Armin himself, however, has rejected all book and film deals. He has sold for no money the rights to his story, as long as any retelling were fully accurate, to a company based in Hamburg. But nothing so far has been made with those specific rights.
That's interesting.
So what do you think? Do you think crime can ever be consensual? Like, if you want to be slaughtered and then consumed by another person, should there be a legal provision that wasn't there in this case? Should there be a loophole for that? Does the government have to be involved in your goddamn business when you want to die and be eaten? Or is there a worry that if that's allowed, vulnerable people, which is what some would argue Burned was, and I agree, could be in danger of making choices that they maybe wouldn't make if they were in their right frame of mind? Because, like, even if knowing nothing about Burned and, like, not having any diagnosis necessarily of any mental illness on his part, you have to say that if you're going into something looking for someone to kill and eat you, you're not in a good space, I don't think.
I don't think
it can be argued that you're not vulnerable in some way.
Clearly something is not right. And
right.
it would be weird to encourage or to allow a circumstance where a vulnerable person would end up harmed or killed. So
right, exactly. But on the other hand, aren't you free to live and die as you choose to live and die, and in a private agreement with another person?
Yeah, I suppose it's hard to say to what extent you're making these decisions in a clear-headed kind of way.
It's hard to say, but I would love to hear what listeners think about that too, and whether this case has made anyone think differently about that as a concept, about morality versus legality, about whether you can ever be a willing victim. But that's that for the case of Armin Meiwes. Don't forget to subscribe, and that we are also on social media. Follow us on Twitter at About Murder, Instagram at A Podcast About Murder, facebook.com/A Podcast About Murder with no E, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Search channels for A Podcast About Murder. Please do like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and give us a rating. But as always, only leave good ratings. If you're thinking of leaving a bad rating, choose love. Mind your own business. Everything will be fine.
Choose love and mind your own business.
And with that, have a good weekend.
Oh.
And we'll be back for another episode. What are we doing next week? Actually, don't tell them.
Next week. It'll also be a German case, I believe. Is that the next one on the schedule?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
An unsolved case.
Another German case. An unsolved. So that'll be interesting. Okay.
All right.
Bye.